Hey, y'all, it's Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. Ever order furniture online and wonder, what if? Like, what if it doesn't fit?
Little to the left. No, wait!
Yep, should have gone with Wayfair. Or what if it doesn't hold up?
That sofa was 4 days old.
Should have ordered from Wayfair. Or what if it's that material that makes that noise?
It was a sofa, I swear.
With Wayfair, there's no what if. Just style you love, quality you can trust, and furniture that actually fits your life. Visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler. That's actually the phonetically correct way to say my name. Some people say Winkler. Some people say Winkler. It's actually Winkler. You got to like really announce it. Bart Winkler. Carlos Ortiz alongside Dexter Henry on the updates tonight. And in that update, he will tell you once again that the Thunder have beaten the Indiana Pacers. And I think it is one of the big story lines to mention is Pacers were up 103-99 with 3:20 to play in the fourth. They scored one more point the rest of the game. It was a fourth quarter takeover from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the league MVP. He also got to the line a bunch of times, which everybody is mad at him for. The foul merchant slander is really at a high tonight. He was 10 for 10 from the stripe. A couple of plays late where it looked like he got a favorable whistle, perhaps. I don't think that determined the game, but that's been the narrative on him. And I don't think he's anywhere near as bad as what other people have been, but once it starts to stick, it starts to stick. Like when Giannis takes 11 seconds at the free throw line and then that stupid Pacer fan with his stupid counter. Come on, you can't do that to my boy and then want me to be. Come on. 35 points for SGA. Again, many of these coming in the fourth quarter and in clutch time. I have a nice stat for you. Clutch time is the final 5 minutes of fourth quarter or overtime. He had 14 clutch time points tonight. So 14 points in the final 5 minutes. 14 clutch time points. When the game's within 5 points in the final 5 minutes of fourth or overtime. So it's got to be towards the end of the game, and the game's got to be close. The game he put on tonight is similar to Robert Horry scoring 15 against the Pistons, game 505. Big shot, Bob. And Dwayne Wade, 15 points against the Mavs in clutch time, game 506. So truly a legendary finals performance for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who, as long as the Thunder win, will be the finals MVP. I believe if the Pacers were to win, I would say Halliburton's got the edge over Siakam in this series. Who would be the next guy? Who would be the third guy? I don't know. I mean, dude, maybe Alex Caruso. He gets in there and he's a beast, and then TJ McConnell gets in there. It's just like what a matchup. These teams' benches, this is the strength. I also saw the Thunder were looking like they were going to lose for a good duration of the game. And the conversation that I saw online with different people started to turn to what the hell is this team doing? Not specifically tonight, but why was there not a big trade that they swung? They clearly were on a finals run. They have all these assets. Why did they not add to their arsenal? Why did they not go out and get somebody? So there was a lot of second guessing about their decisions at the deadline, which now are going to be tempered down. But if they don't win the finals, that will be a conversation. That'll be a conversation. Thunder minus 700 to win. And the Pacers plus 550. So the Pacers back to being the big underdogs that they have essentially been in this entire postseason. And yet here they are, still two games away from winning a chip. Brandon in Chicago. Brandon, hello.
B-Dubski, or Teezy. Thanks for taking my call, fellas.
What's up?
Just a couple takes from the game tonight, man. I think the OKC coach did the right thing, resting SGA. I think that helped them a lot down the stretch. That being said, man, you got to call that push-off call and that travel at the end of the game, man. I don't know how he gets away with it, but he does. And then, you know, Halliburton could have had a couple and ones down the stretch there, too. But, you know, as far as and I think what else also helped SGA was Jalen Williams bringing the ball up the court. I think if the Mavs would have done that last year, that could have helped Luka out a little bit. Another thing, what I was going to say was, I forgot. I'm sorry, man. I forgot now. Oh, yeah, Caruso, 5 steals. Siakam, 5 steals. And then Turner, you know, going 0 for 6 from the three-point line. I think they could have got Thomas Bryant in the game there. You know, he had some big shots against the Knicks, and maybe that could have turned the tide, you know, tonight. Even giving Shepard, you know, some more looks from three. He hit one tonight, but, you know, he could get some more looks too. And just I think that's what the Pacers' strength is. You know, you never know who it's going to be one night to the next. And I think that they could have maybe either went that way or maybe gave the ball to Siakam down the stretch a little bit more. You know, give it to your MVP.
Yeah, I was going to let you, by the way, you would have had all night to remember what you were trying to remember. I was gonna step in there, and then I thought, you know what? I'm gonna see how long it takes. I was gonna put you on hold if need be, but my initial thought was, if it takes him 10 minutes of going, I don't know, let me think. I was gonna give you that space.
And your patience though is impeccable. I mean, with Barry and
it would have been terrible radio, but I was gonna give it to you.
Thank you, much appreciated, man.
Brandon, good to talk to you.
Thanks for taking my call, man.
Yeah, Brandon in Chicago. I was going to let him go. He'd still be thinking about it. If he was still thinking about it, he'd still be thinking about it. I wasn't going to get in his way. I wanted to know, and it was about Alex Caruso. I wanted to know. The Thunder beating the Pacers 111-104. As he mentioned, 5 steals for Caruso and 20 points. 35 for Shea, 27 for Jalen Williams. They also made the change at the starting lineup. They did start Isaiah Hartenstein. And then Cason Wallace was one of the... He wasn't off the bench right away. They brought in Caruso first. Wallace got in about the end of the first quarter. The thing with him is he does play a bunch of minutes, even when he doesn't start. And then they started to start him. What did he play in the regular season? He played 28 minutes a game, coming off the bench a lot. You know, some nights maybe getting thrust in there. But with Cason Wallace, he was not in the starting rotation at all in the playoffs. And then prior to the finals, Mark Daigneault decided, I'm going to make a change here because I want to keep up with their pace. He did start 43 games in the 68 he played. A lot of that was when Chet was hurt for a while. But in the playoffs, he was not starting until the finals. So there was a lot of discussion on that. They made the switch. He had 19 minutes off the bench. And they'll probably stick now with Jalen and SGA and Dort and Hartenstein and Holmgren going forward. But Hartenstein played 21 minutes as a starter, which is still less than he played in game 2 off the bench. But that's about what he's been playing throughout. So just a little tweak to the lineup there. Nothing for the Pacers and probably not going forward. You thought maybe there was some conversation, not I don't think with the Pacers, but elsewhere, that maybe because of how good the game was from Benedict Mathurin in game three, that you could see him replace Nembhard potentially, but he had 8 points tonight, and then missing those three free throws was, and he was stunned. He missed two, and then he got to the line again, and that was the lone point that they had scored in the final 3 minutes and 20 seconds. So around this game, just in scrolling the internet, the things that people are talking about are the series going long, which people like, which is good. They're talking about SGA baiting for fouls. People don't seem to like that. They're talking about Stephen A. Smith being on his phone, playing solitaire of all things, which feels to me like an addiction. Solitaire is anonymous, standing by. He's one bad night away. And then also there was Caitlin Clark. This is the first game that she's been at where they lost. And then Pat McAfee, again, cut a promo. And he cut a promo on Stephen A. Smith. Now, I haven't heard the whole thing, so I'm not going to play it because he can't physically speak a sentence with a microphone in his hand that doesn't have at least the S word in it. He gets away with that. For some reason, no one else does. Did you see that article on him this week, by the way?
I did read it.
Yeah. Andrew Marchand at The Athletic wrote an article about...
Called him a rat.
Well, yeah, McAfee called Marchand a rat because there was one nugget in there that at one point McAfee was thinking of leaving College Game Day and kind of starting his own. And I feel like that's true. I don't think this guy's lying.
I agree.
McAfee, do you know the thing? Let me just say it. And I did this the other night when talking about Stephen A. Smith, and I said, I don't want to sit here and like talk about all these other guys' shows because it makes me look stupid. It makes me look like I want attention from these guys. That's what it makes me look like. That's why Scott Farrell got mad at me back in the day because he was crapping on me. And then we had a back and forth and he said, I don't want to give Winkler any more time than I need to. He's trying to use me. I thought, okay, dude. But this McAfee, because he cut a promo on Stephen A. Smith, like this McAfee-Stephen A. Smith feud or whatever, it's just, it's too much. And I don't think anybody cares. And McAfee, at the bottom line of his show, because they don't even have the ESPN bottom line, it's the McAfee bottom line. And he says, the things we say on this program, not program, the things that we, it's sports entertainment. It's like dumb sports entertainment. It's like, don't take us seriously. Because the one thing he doesn't like is pushback. So he'll say something, and then people will write an article about he shouldn't have done this. And he's like, oh, you see these guys write an article? They wrote an article. I talked about some chick having sex with her boyfriend's dad, and it wasn't true, but hey, we're just joking around. Like, there's never any responsibility taken. And it's just always that. It's always pushing the line. Then people saying you're pushing the line, and then him like being, I didn't try to start. He's a rat. Oh, the guys at ESPN, and he throw. It's just, I don't know. It's just such a high octane lifestyle. I don't know how long can you keep up with that? Even Stephen A. Smith, he's got the show. He's gonna have a radio show. Then he does his podcast. Then he's always hanging out with Chris Cuomo. Greg's right, and then he's playing solitaire at the game. What is that about? It's absurd. And I thought, because Stephen A. Smith, the reason I talked about them the other night is I think they do a disservice to the NBA product. It's the NBA Finals. This morning they're talking about, is Giannis an underachiever if he doesn't win two finals? Why don't you preview the finals? That's another thing. The presentation itself. The NBA Finals used to have like player profiles and stories and maybe at a halftime. Like they do nothing to build these guys up. And I think this is a bigger league problem. that the league needs to be more in step with their broadcast partners. The broadcast partners are not doing a good enough job covering your league, so you need to step in and make them. Because everybody else covers their league the way the fans want it to be covered. The NFL, it's got player profiles, it's got interviews, sit-down interviews. They're digestible to everybody. You know, it's Aaron Andrews with Patrick Mahomes. Okay, is it the most groundbreaking thing ever? No. Does it get you pumped up and keep you engaged for 3 minutes? Sure. NHL, they're covering things on that network. MLB, they nerd out a little bit. That's what the fans want. NBA, it's all like, San Antonio chicks are fat. We need to get Giannis out of Milwaukee. What's Tyrese Halliburton's legacy? Who would be better, LeBron at hockey or Connor McDavid at hoops? What? What is all of this? What is any of it? It is just sports. It's all nonsense. But at least, like, do it good. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Thank you. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. We'll come on back with Guess What They Said. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Lemonade! Fresh squeezed lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast. Here at the Bart Winkler Show, we give you hot takes, hot mics, and hot guesses.
It really doesn't matter what you say. And I'm hoping that nobody on our team is playing for you.
It's the audio of the day you need and the transcript you don't.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
I'm real serious.
I put my heart and soul into this every single week.
The contestants are ready.
You play to win the game. Hello?
The Bart Winkler Show proudly presents Guess What They Said.
Listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Here is tonight's host, Carlos with a K.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Guess What They Said every Monday and Friday here on the Bart Winkler Show. On Fridays, we get you the audio of the day / week. I will compile a list of 5 audio cuts from various stars in sports, whether that be players, coaches, GMs, presidents, commissioners, whatever have you. If you're important enough that we know your name, sort of, you might be featured on Guess What They Said. I will get these cuts. I will present them to Bart, and he will guess what they said. A Bart Winkler Show exclusive and an Infinity Sports Network original. And of course, Bart, we are going to start with game 4 of the NBA Finals.
What would we do if someone, like, ripped it off?
Cease and desist.
Okay.
I guess. I don't know. But everything gets ripped off here.
Yeah.
Bill Simmons is probably going to do it in 2 weeks. Because, you know, if Bart scratches his ass on air 3 weeks later, Bill Simmons is going to scratch his ass on air. It's just kind of funny how those things work.
They do a parent corner. I don't know if they started that after Dad. I don't know.
I want to definitely say that Dad corner was first. With the game on the line and quite possibly the season on the line, the Oklahoma City Thunder
came through in the closing minutes of the fourth quarter of Game 4. They tied the series up. 111-104 is your final. SGA, your MVP, he delivered. He scored 15 of his final of his 35 points in the final 4.5 minutes. Oklahoma City capped a rally of 10-point second-half deficit, and they sealed the win over the Pacers. Again, we are now at a best of three going forward, heading to Oklahoma City. I cannot wait for this game. I cannot wait for the Pacers to finally lose two in a row, which they have not done since March. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. Bart, let's start here. Guess what they said. Let's go to the Pacers head coach, Rick Carlisle. I want you to guess what he said in about 20 seconds of audio on what he saw down the stretch in the loss. Guess what Rick Carlisle had to say.
Okay, Rick Carlisle, they didn't score at all. They got us out of our rhythm. We weren't able to close it out. Gildas Alexander was tremendous, and we couldn't do anything to stop him. But we got out of what makes us. We got out of Pacer basketball, and I don't know if it was thinking that we were going to get it done or if we got in our own heads, but we got out of the way that we need to be playing, and we'll have to be better in Game 5.
Their second shots were a big problem. When you're unable to rebound, it's hard to continue to play with pace and tempo. I haven't looked at the end of the game yet, so I don't have the blow-by-blow for you. But give them credit. They kept attacking, and their defense was great down the stretch.
No, I talked more about from the Pacers' perspective. He gave it more on the Thunder. And one of the problems, too, is I'm watching these games while doing a show. And so maybe, and, it's been 2 hours, so I've got time to, read up and look and see what people are saying. But had I been locked, truly locked in, then I maybe could have thought, oh, you know what? They didn't really get a lot of rebounds or, whatever. But that is tough for me. That is tough for me when we do these night of.
But it's always such good audio, which is
that a good enough excuse?
Sure, why not? You're 0-1, regardless of the excuse. Let's go to the other side, the winning head coach. Here's Mark Daigneault. I want you to guess what he had to say on what he saw from his team throughout the game. This is 15 seconds. Guess what Mark Daigneault had to say.
They never gave up. We knew this was a game that we had to have. We didn't want to go down 3-1. We just kept fighting, kept pressuring, tried to play hard, got our rebounds. But just trying to make things happen, make plays happen, and, take what they could give us, but then make things happen. And just that spirit that they've had all year and playing together.
We really hung in there in the third. I thought that was the key to the game because they really had the wind at their back. We had some deflating plays. It was an easy game to give up on, but we kept it within striking distance, 8-10, and then we were able to close in the fourth.
Sure. I also wasn't crazy about how that cut was cut. Kind of
what
tripped
happened
off
there
at the end there. Well, I didn't actually make the cut.
No, I know.
I played it, but I didn't play the entirety of it. But you just look at the point against Spirit of the Clip Rule is what we're going to go with here.
You know what's a cut pet peeve of mine?
Please tell me, because I think it's the same one.
You think? What do you think I'm going to say?
And then we're able to close in the fourth.
That.
Oh, no, yeah, that.
That annoys me to no end.
But then, if he would have said, we were able to close in the fourth, so. Sometimes people end their sentence with so.
Oh, I don't like so.
And then they keep it. People will make cuts and they'll keep it in the cut. You got it. So maybe that's what. Maybe he gave you a so in there and then they tried to cut it and who knows? We're using other people's work, so.
Yeah.
I just did it.
So.
I didn't mean to.
So. All right. 1-1. So we go to the next cut. Here's cut number three.
My wife's gonna say, Bart, how is work? And I go, you won't believe this. We were talking about cuts and how they end with the word so. And then the next sentence I said, I ended it with so. How do you explain that to a person?
I think the only people who are entertained by this little back and forth are people who work in our industry or work in audio. Everyone else is like, what the hell are you talking about? Just play the damn thing. So
yeah, and interested might be a better word. I don't think anyone's entertained.
For sure. Let's go to Pascal Siakam. We heard from the coaches. Let's hear from some of the players here. I want you to guess what Pascal Siakam had to say on how the Game 4 loss feels. This one is 14 seconds lost. Guess what he had to say.
It doesn't feel good. We don't like being in this position. We try not to be in this position. But it feels like we still have more time. You don't want to be letting down your home fans. They came out, supported us. Great crowd. But when we come back here, we want to give them more to celebrate.
Obviously, we wanted to win. I thought we played well enough for some stretches of the game to put ourselves in a position to win. But, unfortunately, it didn't happen. And I think every loss at this point is a disappointment.
Not your worst guess. I actually thought it was a valiant effort.
Yeah, I just see he mentions fans one time,
and then that's what killed you. He just didn't give you that follow through that I would have gone to give you the actual point. So 1-2, you're still in there. You need this one in order to stay in the game and force a fifth clip, which, as everybody knows who listens to the segment, I'm going to play anyway because that's what I do. I want you to guess what Chet Holmgren had to say on being switched on to Tyrese Halliburton multiple times down the stretch. This was one of OKC's defensive tactics. So, guess what Chet had to say. This was about 16 seconds long. Have at it.
It's challenging. He's tough. He's always moving. He's always creating. He's really good with the ball. You don't know where he's going, if he's passing or driving, and maybe step back and take the shot. So, you got to play maximum potential against this guy. He's one of the best in the game.
I feel like I got a good contest. He was still able to get it off, and, you know, he shoots a high arcing shot. So, like, the whole time it's in the air, you're just, you know, a lot's going through your mind. But, you know, I'm just glad we were able to get those stops and close out the game.
No.
I didn't think so either. I was also very like, okay, like, that. How was that a defensive breakdown, bro? You're just telling me what you're thinking about? Okay, he did an okay job on him. You know, Halliburton, this is another one of those games where he just kind of, you know, fades into the background. And this is what happens when you get to chirp with your chest out in your head. When you pull up these kind of stinkers or just kind of mid-games, people are going to clown you. And maybe rightfully so, because you pump yourself up in your head. So, good on OKC for getting this win, because I feel so much better about going into my weekend with some hate in my heart. Let's go to our last clip here. It is official. You lose 1-3. So, let's just do this one for a morale boost. No more basketball. Let's go over to Sauce Gardner, cornerback for the Jets. I want you to guess what he had to say on wanting to be the highest paid at his position. This is 6 seconds long. Even though you lose the game, maybe we can get onto our Saturdays on the right foot. Guess what he had to say.
Who else is it going to be? I deserve it. Yeah, I'm the best, so pay me like the best.
I don't really want to get into the numbers. You know what I'm saying? I just want to play football. You know?
Oof, this is a rough one for you.
I totally mischaracterized Sauce Gardner.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's making all that money from the Buffalo Wild Wings commercials that he was doing a couple years ago, and he doesn't really need it. But 1-4, a very rare, you know, miss of a performance for Bart Winkler, so you know what that means.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
And that's guess what they said.
2-2, huh? The finals?
Yeah.
Well, I was 1-4.
Yeah, no you you would have been over, you know, if you were a you know, playing in one of these series. A 5-game wrap up, not as entertaining. Now we have to go into the weekend like this.
Yeah. Well, let's boost morale a little bit. Let's Dexter Henry hanging around. Dexter,
I'm here.
What's up, dude?
I'm good. How are you?
Look at you on a Friday night.
Busy.
Yeah. Hey, we talked last week, Knicks.
Yeah.
Now it looks like they're done trying to take somebody else's girl, and they might be looking at some of these guys that are already on the dating apps. What's the latest here, and what are you hoping for?
So, you know, there was a lot of conversation, Bart, about the Knicks' approach here, which I didn't have a problem with. I think they did the right thing, actually. I think they were like, hey, let's look at these coaches that are available, are not available, that are on the, you know, off the market, but let's see and go high with a couple of guys they'd interviewed before in Ime Udoka. Look, it was a long shot, but you got to reach for the stars. You know what I mean? You got to reach for the stars sometimes. And now they're on to the coaches who are free agents and available. I do think Taylor Jenkins and Mike Brown are two good candidates who they're reported to look at and interview next week. I would lean a little bit more Mike Brown. I think he could handle New York. I think he got a raw deal in a couple places he was in, definitely L.A., also Sacramento. He did a great job turning those guys around. The Kings have not been a model franchise for anything except for maybe losing, you would say that. So, you know, I think Mike Brown's a good coach. I think he can handle the market. I think he's experienced. I think he's the kind of coach that could get him over the top. And I think what I like about him is he was known as a defensive-minded coach, but we saw what he did with Sacramento's offense. So I think that could help the Knicks a little bit there too. So I like Mike Brown. I wouldn't be mad if they went with a, you know, unproven guy like Johnny Bryant, who's been in the organization, was under Tom Thibodeau, probably learned some things from him, was under Kenny Atkinson last year. I think that's another name to look at. That'll get an interview, but all indications are that Jenkins and Brown are the top two candidates right now.
Brown had a nice run with Golden State, too.
Yes.
And there were times he had to pinch hit for Kerr for different reasons, but he always, whenever he gets a head coaching job, it's like, he always gets fired, and I'm like, really? Sue? That?
Yeah.
Okay. It's like, he just seems to have a shorter leash than other people for whatever reason.
Yeah, I haven't quite understood that. I mean, listen, you know, with the last one, I was going to say I haven't understood it, but then again, Bart, it was the Kinks. Do we understand anything that goes on with the Kinks?
You know
what I mean? So some of it, I was just like, man, it's the Kinks being the Kinks. You saw how the Kinks finished the season. I think Mike Brown is a really good coach, and I'm glad his name has come up because I brought it up in one of my shows last week, and you know, I said I think Brown is somebody who should get a look, and I didn't know anything about that. I didn't know if he would get a look, so I'm happy to see his name is here because I think he's absolutely positively deserving of getting a look here.
Yeah, we'll see how that continues to go. Knicks still on the look for a head coach, which is a sometimes more prevalent story than the NBA Finals, but we'll see what happens. Finals, of course, tied up now. We've got the Stanley Cup and the NBA both at 2-2 for the first time since 2015. And with an update on how it happened, we send it right back to Dexter Henry.
Hey, y'all, it's Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. Ever order furniture online and wonder, what if? Like, what if it doesn't fit?
Little to the left. No, wait!
Yep, should have gone with Wayfair. Or what if it doesn't hold up?
That sofa was 4 days old.
Should have ordered from Wayfair. Or what if it's that material that makes that noise?
It was a sofa, I swear.
With Wayfair, there's no what if. Just style you love, quality you can trust, and furniture that actually fits your life. Visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler. Thunder beat the Pacers on Friday night, 111-104. Much more on this game with David Shepherd coming up to take you through your Saturday morning as you get your weekend started, wherever you may be. One guy we've been talking about a little bit in that game is Alex Caruso, who had 5 steals. They got him for his defense. Josh Giddey, Alex Caruso. A little bit of a swap with Chicago. Giddey, you think of more offensively. Caruso, you think of more defensively. Caruso, however, has now scored 20 points in the NBA Finals twice. He did it tonight, and he did it, I think, in game two. He did it? Yeah, game two. So both wins. That's the key. When they lost, he scored 11 and 8. When they won, he scored 20 both times. If you think that that is uncommon or rare, you are right. He became the first player in NBA history to have two 20-point games in an NBA Finals after having zero 20-point games in the entire regular season. You witnessed history tonight, folks. You witnessed the Caruso. One of the refs tonight was Scott Foster, and they were doing a watch party. Josiah Johnson's part of this, Brandon Jennings. Gilbert Arenas was wearing a Pascal Siakam jersey, rooting for Indy. And then once he found out that Scott Foster was reffing the game, he switched it to a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander jersey because Scott Foster's nickname is the Extender.
Ooh! The Extender, Gilbert, Scott Foster, officiating the game. He know the assignment.
Ball movement.
Hey, Scott, where's Scott?
He passes.
You'll see him in a second. He'll make his presence felt.
Oh, man. Oh, hell no. No.
On the line.
If Scott is here, it's extended. So let me go ahead and put the real jersey on. So
he did not want to continue to wear the jersey of the Pacers if the series was going to be extended. Scott Foster has long been accused of being a referee that will allow the losing team to win, to extend the series. It's been a joke. Statistically, you can back up the joke a little bit, whether that's a part of the master plan or not, remains to be seen. More audio from the night. I do have some audio from Pat McAfee. This is the promo he cut, at least a portion of it. If I was a Pacers fan and Pat McAfee's in the building and he's cutting a WWE-style promo, I'm pretty pumped up. I would be. If I was with the other team, I would be like, this sucks.
Even though we're up 2-1 in the series with home court advantage coming into tonight's game, the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are favored to win the NBA title. Coming into tonight's game, Oklahoma City was favored by 6.5 points. That makes us the biggest underdogs in the history of the NBA Finals. That tells me that the sports books don't know. Stephen A. Smith doesn't know.
Okay, and that was the big moment because he called out Stephen A. Smith, who, of course, they are the big poster boys of ESPN, and they may or may not get along. And they're both the ones that make the big money, those two in Greenberg. But these are the guys, both in the building tonight. Stephen A. Smith working the pregame, postgame, halftime. And Pat McAfee, you know, Indianapolis and a big fan. I thought that could be a good thing for the NBA to have at least the guy in their daytime part, a Pacer fan, and like really engaged in this series. I don't know that that's done anything to move the needle nationally, but it's a good way to give them exposure. Stephen A. Smith, on the other hand, you may have seen the picture or heard us talking about it. While the game was going on, he was on his phone. That's not a crime. We all do that. But he was on his phone playing solitaire. I'm just stunned. Solitaire? It wasn't even like Clash of Clans or some other game. You know, there's some of these you've downloaded apps on your phone and you get like super addicted. You know, and then it lasts 3 weeks and then, you know, you spend your little money and you're like, I can't believe I'm paying money. And then you tell Apple, oh, my kid actually did it. I need the money back because you feel so shameful. Solitaire, if you're playing solitaire while the NBA finals are going on and you're getting paid $20 million a year from your network to be at this game, you have an addiction. That's an addiction. You need to seek help. And I don't say that facetiously. That there's what other who solitaire. You're not even like betting or gambling. You're playing solitaire. Wild. Mike Breen at one point during the broadcast, they showed Detlef Schrempf, and Dale Davis, guys that had played with the Supersonics. Or no, Schrempf was a Pacer for, or a, yeah, you know what I'm trying to say. Forget about the other guy. But Schrempf played with the Sonics at one point. And so Breen was trying to talk about the history between the Sonics and the Thunder and just how awkward it is.
Of course, OKC. 2008, that's when the team came alive with a move from Seattle. It's made kind of for a bizarre link regarding the history of the franchise. There's a sore spot with some, but the franchise records in history, the two teams are connected. As Toppin puts up the jump shot, and that won't go Wallace the rebound. A lot of Sonic fans don't consider the Thunder part of their team. Many OKC fans don't even show any allegiance to the Sonics' history. But I'll say this. The Sonic fans are one of the great fan bases ever. OKC fans are one of the great fan bases.
It's just really weird, and we talked about this a little bit the other night. I'll close out with this. It's weird that we expect the Supersonics to come back at some point. And Adam Silver's going to try to drive expansion a little more this summer. It feels like Las Vegas and Seattle would be the two teams. I think for sure Seattle is going to get another team. As long as there's people behind it, they're going to get another team. I'm not 100% sure on Vegas. The NBA kind of likes to use them as a, you know, the All-Star Game, Summer League, maybe an NBA Cup. I don't know that they're eager to put a team there or if they want to try to get one in another market, but we'll see about that. But it's weird because the other, like, more recent example of this where a team changes and they just move. It's not like the St. Louis Rams became the L.A. Rams or the Oakland Raiders became the Las Vegas Raiders. It's a move and a name change. And we saw that with Tennessee, but then they were the Tennessee Oilers for a little bit and then became the Titans and now we're the Oilers throwbacks. But when the Ravens were the Ravens, when they went from Cleveland Browns to Baltimore Ravens, changed the team name. And it's happened in hockey a few times too. But in football, the Browns got a team right away in 3 years. So we just all kind of like have memory hold that the Browns have always existed except for the 3 years they took off and the Ravens are sort of an expansion franchise. They are connected, but our brains don't do that. But because the Supersonics never came back, it feels like they just got stolen. The history is shared right now. Right now, the Thunder have won a title as the Supersonics back in 1979. But if the Supersonics ever come back, they would then get that history. So the Thunder don't acknowledge it. They don't do anything with it. They know it's eventually going to go back to Seattle. But in the meantime, it hasn't. And so they are connected. All right. We'll be back on Monday for Game 5. And we'll know what happened Game 5 in the NHL. Should be good. For Carlos Ortiz, Dexter Henry, I'm Bar Winkler. David Shepard up next on the Infinity Sports Network.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays, and now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.